Big D Entertainment, in association with Dipsy Doodle Productions, presents the Dave Holly Hour. Brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. The Dave Holly Hour features Sioux Empire arts and entertainment conversations and has been recognized by the Sioux Falls Stage Awards with a special distinction for promoting the arts. A true lover of arts, entertainment, good food, and fun times, including an occasional Jack Daniels. Okay, so a few Jack Daniels. Here he is, Dave Holly.
Welcome to episode 63. Wow, yeah, we continue well after that first anniversary, well after the holidays, taking a couple weeks off, but it's a Thursday. That means it's weekend eve, time to give you another great show of conversations about arts and entertainment in the Sioux Empire, the greater Sioux Falls, South Dakota metro area, including some spots around the surrounding states and pretty much all of South Dakota, since we're not that heavily populated. But that doesn't mean that we do not provide you with great entertainment venues, performances, and companies that produce things, too. In fact, that's the case today. Colin McKenzie, who I have freelanced with in the past, years ago now, Colin has a company that he came up with on his own, C-Mac Productions. That is taking him many places right now. Then, later on in the show, we'll speak to Bo McGregor. He's from Salem. And Bo has been on stage with Sioux Empire Community Theater a few times. We talked to him about his love of theater. So there it is, love of arts and entertainment. And love of Thursdays for being weekend eve. So here's to you, Thursday, you little weekend ever you. And thank you. I will have my usual toast. I don't mean jelly and jam, peanut butter, or anything. I mean my toast of a beverage to you and to all that are listening. Thank you. And it's Jasper Newton once again. Jack Daniels, Diet Coke, and a lime. But depending upon what time of the day you might be listening, you're maybe drinking coffee, maybe a little milk, maybe even that dreaded water, which means like you're really health conscious. And that bothers me because I would love to be you, but instead, you know, I have my Jack Daniels. Moving on. All right. By the way, some great shows still taking place this weekend. In fact, Miss Carries and I, we are going to be headed to Corson for the matinee on Sunday of The Taming. Then the following Sunday, we're going to make our way down into Worthing and go to the matinee on Sunday of their great production. Also, going to be in T on Friday night for 80s trivia. The ruggedly handsome host returns. We got postponed last week because Mother Nature was in a fit. And that means that what was scheduled for this Friday, the 90s trivia, is now going to be postponed to February 5th, which happens to be my grandson's birthday. He will not be in attendance, though, because he's only going to be 2, not 2-1 to legally get in. Another thing we do on a weekly basis, it's called
Honorable Mention.
Every week, I give out an honorable mention to something that made my heart go pitter-patter, maybe even made me have some tears of joy, or quite often it's a big laugh, you know, something that just made me feel good. Well, this one's a definite feel-good story, but sadly, the person that's getting this is not going to hear it. A hearing-impaired gentleman walked in to the area where I record between the lobby, between, you got Frontier Bank, you got Wood Grain Brewery, and you've got Agua Fresh. And I saw this gentleman walk in, didn't know he was hearing impaired at first, and he's just kind of looking at my sign that says, Recording Dave Holly Hour Podcast. He goes into Agua Fresh, comes back out, and he looks at it, and I kind of give a little wave, and then he comes over, and he has a pen and a notepad. A pocket-type notepad. And he writes down, how long have you been doing this? This looks cool. So I write back, and God help him that he was able to read it, because the executive administrative assistant, Miss Carries, can tell you my handwriting is horse crap. Yeah, true story. But this gentleman then wrote a couple more questions, and I answered, and I was just so thankful. And I did what, the only sign language I know is, put your hand up at your mouth and drop it down to say thank you. And even though the gentleman cannot hear this, I hope that somebody that maybe knows him, or I hope to run into him again, just to let him know that him saying that something that he can't necessarily take in, that he thought it was cool. So I appreciate that greatly. Coming up a bit later in the show, Bo McGregor on his love of theater. But coming up next, it's Colin McKenzie from CMAC Productions on the Dave Holly Hour.
Sure, they have darts, and you've heard me talk about how ruggedly handsome the trivia host is, but all caps fun never stops at the Sky Lounge and Tea. And fun is best had with your friends enjoying live entertainment, as in live and local. Yeah, the Sky Lounge believes in giving you the best bands, solo artists, and comedians from the area. The Neo Johnsons, Elizabeth Hunstead, Skylar Volks, as well as many others. And a great staff will make sure you enjoy your fun at the Sky Lounge in T, South Dakota.
The Dave Holly Hour. Like eavesdropping on a great conversation between two very interesting people.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour. It is such a great pleasure for me to have this young man on the show. We worked together doing some freelance things years ago, and he has gone on to build up a great video production company called CMAC. Here he is. It's Colin McKenzie. How are you, Colin?
I'm good, Dave. How are you? Good to hear you. Good to talk to you again.
Yeah, it's been a few years, but it's been a quiet time recently in some ways, for a lot of entertainers, a lot of artists, a lot of production companies and so forth. But overall, though, from following you on social media, it looks like you're doing all right for yourself.
It was a pretty strange year. I do a lot of live event production. And so my last March was crazy, crazy busy, as most of us do live event production. And then COVID hit and shut us down in 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then, the summer was really, really quiet. April, May, June, July, August were really, really quiet. You'd pick up a shoot here or something, a live event there, virtual event or something along those lines. It was really quiet. But I would say in the last probably 4 months, 5 months, mm-hmm. Everybody's trying to make up for lost time is all I can figure, because it's been insanely busy the last 4 or 5 months.
All right, so it's picking up. That's good to hear. But let's before we start talking about CMAC and everything that it does, let's go back a few years. Tell us what you got you started in the video production, and take us a little quick Reader's Digest tour of your career.
Sure. I came to Sioux Falls in 1992. I got hired at KSFY-TV to be a videographer, and I was there for 13 years. I left there as the chief photographer, so I did a pretty healthy stint working for them and loved every minute of it, met some great people, and got to do some pretty amazing things. And then left the business for, I suppose, probably about a year and a half. And that's where you and I met first, Dave, was doing Motor Market.
That's right.
Yeah, many, many years ago. And so then I kind of got back in the business. I went to Kello TV, and I did about 7 years in their creative services department. And I was picking up freelance work towards the end of my career at Kello, and I was out of my 4 weeks of vacation by like the first part of March. And I'm like, now what am I going to do? back in 2011, I started CMAC and kind of just went from there. And luckily, throughout the course of the years, a lot of the people I worked with in TV had moved on to other marketing positions with companies across the Midwest and reconnected with them, and CMAQ was born, and away it went, and now have never looked back.
Okay. Let's give people that are not in the industry a little bit of an idea as to the differences within jobs. So when you were at KSFY, you were the head photographer, the videography.
Yep.
Pretty simple for most of us to understand. But now when you say when you were at Kello and it was creative services, what are we talking about and how do we distinguish that?
Sure. TV news is exactly what you see on your local news. I did that for 13 years. We'd go out and cover the stories, shoot the interviews. Reporters would write the stories. We put them together and then go to air. Creative services is a little different. It's basically TV commercials. For different clients. I was in charge of in-house promotions for Kello TV. So when we rolled out HD the first time at Kello TV, my job specifically was to create the TV commercials and the content for social media and stuff like that for the website to roll out the HD product for the first time. So anything that was, how do you say it? It probably more promotional.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of what I was doing, but I still shot commercials for all kinds of different people. Autoland was one of my clients at Kello TV that I shot commercials for, and well, we traveled all over the region shooting TV commercials. It was me and one other guy, and he'd shoot some places, and I'd go to the other places, and we did that on a weekly basis.
And so, when you talk about promotional things for Kello specifically. Those nice pictures of the train going across the bridge in the fall, that type of stuff.
Yep.
Okay.
Exactly.
Lots of image work then.
Yes, very much image work. Not so much content driven as far as going out and grab a quick interview. This was pretty pictures, good sound, graphic creation, stuff like that. But yeah, like the Our Home campaign was started when I was there. So I had a big role to play in capturing images for that Our Home campaign, and it's different progressions through one version to the next version to the next version. So that was kind of my job, was to make sure those videos were produced well and done well.
Yeah, and they look great, by the way. I always think that those are some of the snazzier things that we see in the local media, that's for sure. In the meantime, though, so you started this little company, decided, you know what, I'm going to go out and be a small business owner myself. Let's see what happens. leap of faith?
A huge leap of faith. I mean, you're getting a steady paycheck every 2 weeks. The check goes in your bank account, and your medical insurance is paid, and your vacation is all set in stone. You know what you have, and you're like, you know what? I have no idea where I'm going to get my next dollar from.
Right.
But like I said, I was very fortunate and had some very good friends in the right places that right out of the block, it just took off. And I'm just very, very fortunate and knew the right people and made the connection right after I started CMAQ and went full-time freelance. And it just really never stopped. I thought it would slow down, but it hasn't.
With the exception of COVID.
With the exception of COVID.
But that slowed down for all of us now.
Pretty much everything. Very much true. Yeah. Very much true.
So what did you go in with the idea of doing for video production, and where are you now?
Well, when I started my company, my motto was, I will never turn down a shoot. I.e. a video shoot or a production, no matter how big or how small it is. So if it was mom and pop that needed two or three shots of their business and wanted to do a little social media video, or they wanted to do whatever it is, if it was $200 or $300 or $400 or whatever it was, I was like, I will not turn down a shoot, because I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
Because you turn work down or don't take a phone call, you stand the chance of losing money that day. And so that was always kind of my motto starting out, is do it all. I mean, so I worked 70 hours a week for probably 2 years. And then I started getting fortunate, and I had a couple of really good clients that kind of went to me exclusively for their content and for their video production. And they're still with me to this day. And so it kind of morphed a little bit. I mean, I still do some small stuff for small mom and pop places that, you know, we don't have a big budget, and being a small business, I can do that. I can say, you know what, I'd cut you a heck of a deal. Let's just do it. It'll be fun. And do that kind of thing. But I mean, as it's progressed, I mean, my company has changed a lot. I do a ton of live event production now, both virtually and in person. I have all the equipment and staff that goes along with that. But I've gotten a lot more into working with bigger clients, with corporations. We've done stuff for Avera, stuff for Sanford, stuff for First Premier. I mean, all the big names in the market, I've done something for them in some way, shape, or form. And if it wasn't CMAC, well, I was part of a crew that did stuff for those as well. So, I mean, that's where my career kind of shifted and went from being solely focused on CMAC to being part of a crew or a group of people that really produce good content and are the next level of video production and that's where I wanted to go with my career. And that's, so far, it's worked out pretty doggone good.
I was going to say, you know, if anybody that follows you on social media is paying attention, they see that you are all over the country in a variety of places. And that has to be a little bit exciting. But by the same token, you know, you're away from home sometime for days at a time, if not weeks. Mm-hmm. And so you miss that part of it. But what's it like to be on a, you know, major type of live event and helping produce that?
Right. I mean, the stress level is extraordinarily high. Nothing can go wrong. And you work for weeks or a month ahead of time to make sure that you take out all the risk. I mean, you have to minimize the risk, be it having an extra piece of equipment, being adding another body to your staff, whatever it is, that you know that when the push comes to shove, there's no fail. And that is a lot of pressure. The morning before a live event, before you hit that button that says live, I mean, you swallow hard a couple times and you're like, okay, here we go. Let's hope this works. Because with technology, sometimes you don't control it. I mean, you're sending your video feed up into the sky or through the internet. You're like, please come back down so somebody can see it. You do not have control over that part. And I pride myself on control, and I do the best I can with the stuff that I can control. But I told my clients, I said, there's parts of this that are beyond my control. I can't call Vimeo or Zoom or whoever we're using for a live feed. I can't call them and say, hey, your end is bad. Because for one, they don't care. And two, they don't care.
Yeah.
So
bring me the product I asked for.
Right. Exactly. So, I mean, there's a lot of pressure on those, but at the same time, I've always kind of relished those moments and those times. And, I mean, all my live event production that I've done, I mean, that's kind of what you live for if you're in that industry.
Had you done much, we'll put the air quotes around them, even though this is audio. Had you done much virtual production prior to COVID?
You know, we've done a handful of things that people wanted to stream. And typically it was because they wanted to stream from one location and have people in their other locations watch it instead of bringing everybody in. So we've done a handful of things like that. We do a lot of that for Raven. And so that was just the kind of way it worked. And then when COVID hit, I mean, we had to figure out what could we do. And the only thing we could really come up with, because nobody was hiring us to shoot anything because there was zero work, we're like, well, how about virtual events? So CMAC started marketing that as well. And then I've also been very, very fortunate and started another company called StoryBuilt with four other friends of mine. And so we kind of morphed from StoryBuilt and CMAC, and we just kind of kind of pick and choose and roll out the virtual work. But it's still there. We just did a virtual training for Vicor probably 2 weeks ago. And basically it was all there, people that typically would fly in and house and be on site for 2 days of training. We did that virtually. So we had four cameras, had a director, I was a producer. We had an audio op, so we had four camera operators. So it was a fairly large-scale live event production. And to my knowledge, it went without a hitch. I mean, we didn't have any hiccups on our end. But like I said, once you deliver the product to the interwebs, it's fair game.
Right.
But it went well. And overall, they were super pleased with it. And they booked us again in 6 months for the next round of training. So
fantastic. Tell us about StoryBuild. What's that?
So StoryBuild is a group of professionals that I work with on basically a weekly basis. It's Doug Lee from Doug Lee Pictures. It's Dort Kuiper from Overview. It's Don McClear with C. Clear Creative. It's Steve Roush with Focus Motion. So the five of us do a lot of work together, and we've known each other for 20 years. And we decided, you know what? How about instead of all of us doing our own thing, how about we take and we go after bigger projects? And that's basically what we're built for, is for the very high-end productions. We're not looking to do the $1,000 shoots. Those we can stay with our own company because we're still all individual mm-hmm. owners of operators of our own company. But StoryBuild is a collective of people. And I mean, between the five of us, I think we have roughly 140 years of video production experience. So it's the talent group is pretty amazing. And we started the company last January, and we actually went live. The first thing that StoryBuild did was light up Sioux Falls, where I flew in a chopper over Sioux Falls, and we had everybody stand outside and wave flashlights and candles and mm-hmm. stuff like that.
That's one of my screensavers.
Yeah. I mean, we streamed it live on StoryBuild's web Facebook page. We had 60,000 viewers at one point on that stream. And then we did Light Up South Dakota, where we streamed from 8 different helicopters and planes from across the state of South Dakota in a 1.5-hour time. And we pulled that off, and the stream went great. And we have just kind of really taken off from there. I mean, we've done a ton of stuff locally. And you talked about all the traveling that I've been doing, and that part of my travel has been for StoryBuild stuff, as StoryBuild has been hired to produce a feature-length documentary.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Where will we be seeing that documentary?
Well, our hopes are that you will be able to see it on Netflix or Hulu or Prime. One of those platforms is hopefully we'll pick it up. And we're in the early production phases of it now. And I think I spent most of December on the road. I was in Dallas and Albuquerque and Las Vegas and Fort Lauderdale and Georgia last week. And Denver and Omaha. So, yeah, I've spent a fair amount of time in an airplane.
Did you make sure that you got the credit card that got you the extra miles?
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. There's no doubt about it. Because, we've had a fair bit of time in an airplane lately. So, but it's an amazing, amazing project that we're working on. And it'll be a year long in the making. Mm-hmm. Where we hope to have it done by September, November, December of this year. So it's...
Are you able to give us an idea of what it's about?
I can't really yet.
Okay. I kind of figured that might be the case. But
yeah, I can't really yet discuss anything publicly besides that it's in the works.
And, okay.
And that it's going extraordinarily well. But it's a massive project. And we would have never been able to undertake it as individual companies, but StoryBuild as a whole... has the ability to do this, and that's what we built StoryBuild for.
What are the challenges to shooting things from the air that you didn't understand prior to getting into that?
Well, are you talking drone wise?
Drone wise. Plus, the fact that streaming from airplanes and helicopters and so forth.
Well, yeah, when we streamed Light Up Sioux Falls and Let It Shine South Dakota, I mean, we had no idea if Zoom from a helicopter or a plane at 1,000 feet would work. So I mean, we had in each of the seven largest cities, we had a pilot that we lined up. We had a camera person, a videographer, and then we had somebody that all their job was to stream from their phone to a central hub. And then myself and Don McClear from StoryBuilt, we directed the stream from here, from our office, and put it out to Facebook. And we had, I think we had 35,000 people on that stream that evening. So, but it's that's one of those things where I don't know that I've ever seen anybody try something like that before.
Right.
I mean, from seven cities, yeah. Seven at 1,000 feet, or over the Black Hills, or over Aberdeen, you have no idea if you're gonna have cell phone service. But it worked. It worked pretty doggone good.
And we're thankful for that. Beautiful images, no doubt about that.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy.
What got you into being a videographer? Did you start with stills and regular photography first, or were growing up, the video was the thing already?
It was kind of weird because when I went to college, I went for radio broadcasting. I thought, you know what? I want to be a DJ. That'd be really cool.
I did that once too, yeah.
Yeah, I seem to recall that. And then I started going through the classes, and one of the classes was video production and TV production, that track. And so I started dabbling in that a little bit, and I would shoot something, and we'd bring it back. And the next thing I know, the other people in the class were like, Colin, can you come with me and shoot this project? I'm like, okay. Did I know what I was doing? No, I didn't have a clue what I was doing. But apparently I was doing okay. So it just kind of followed that track. I don't think I spent more than an hour in a radio station or in a booth.
Mm-hmm.
I tried it once on a campus radio station, and I was just like, this is boring. Give me the camera. Let me go back outside. So that's kind of where it went, and I went from there. I started in weekend sports at a TV station in Fargo, and just really never looked back. And it's become a passion, and it's something that I absolutely love doing.
All right, so now all of us have video on our phone.
Uh-huh.
Tips for those of us that think we're videographers.
Tip number one, turn your phone sideways.
Don't shoot vertical, shoot horizontal.
There is a place for vertical video, and we do produce stuff that way, but it's only for those TVs that are mounted, so they show the video that way.
Mm-hmm.
But turn your phone sideways. That way it's widescreen like your TV is. If you look at your TV or your monitor at your desk, it's horizontal. It's not vertical. So turn it sideways and then hold it steady.
Yeah.
That's always a big one. People are just moving around. I mean, if you want to capture video for 5 seconds of that spot, do that. Take 5 seconds, count in your head 5 seconds, and then move to the second spot, just instead of just panning and zooming and scanning across everything. So just hold your, that's what I used to teach my, photojournalists, KSFY, is hold your shot, count to 10. Okay, now move, get your next shot, and then count to 10, get your next shot. It's just a better way. But that's my business and what I do. So that's, do I expect everybody to do that? No. But it's helpful. It's just a little
yes,
tip.
It is. Yeah, you know, small things. Just like I remember when I was really into photography when I was, oh goodness, 14. I took a photography lesson, and the guy that was teaching it said, take your elbows and turn them in, so you're building a mm-hmm. tripod.
Right.
And I've never forgotten that.
Yep.
So it is, small things like that can certainly help us.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. So, and and shoot with the sun at your back, not in your face.
Yes, there's another one, that's for sure. Hey, a couple of questions I always like to ask at the end of all these conversations about Sioux Empire Arts Entertainment. Today it's been fun to get more of a behind-the-scenes type of talk and a great conversation about it and so forth. But when you're not busy working in this field, how do you like to be entertained?
I love the Levitt. I was fortunate enough to do video production for their big screen at Levitt probably half a dozen times the first summer, and I just love that feel. I mean, I love being able to sit there and have a cold beer and watch some entertainment that you don't see often. I mean, do I like big concerts? I do like big concerts on occasion, but I would much prefer the intimate setting of the Levitt. I mean, when I did Coin the Fireflies at the Levitt for the last show of the first season, there were 6,000 people there. It was insane. But it was also amazing. I mean, the energy at that place was just off the charts. But so, I mean, I like you got a guy sitting on a bar stool playing guitar and singing. Mm-hmm. I'll sit there all night and listen to him. I mean, that's my preference. Arts, I mean, I haven't had time to get down to the State Theater yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
All right. And then the other question, aside from entertainment, arts, and your regular business, how about other hobbies?
I'm an avid hunter and fisherman. My son is 15, and he wants to be the next Babe Winkleman, and so we fish a lot. Yeah,
and you'll do the video production on the show, right?
There, I could do that. I know a guy. I hunt and fish a lot in the fall, in the summer as well. But I love to ride my motorcycle. The wind therapy is just something that you just can't describe. People that ride know what I'm talking about. It's just, I get on my bike at an hour before sunset, and I'll just, I don't know, head off, go down to Canton, go through Newton Hill State Park, go down to Hudson, and just ride. And just, you don't think about anything. You just ride. Because as a small business owner, there are very few times where your brain shuts off.
Well, I remember at the beginning of the conversation, you mentioned the fact that you were working 70 hours a week when you first started CMAC. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of a workshop that the Senior Corps of Retired Volunteers put on. Mm-hmm. And some young gal said, "Oh, I'm so looking forward to having my own business so I only have to work half a day." He says, "You know what? You are right. You get to choose which 12 hours of the day you're going to put in."
That is very, very true. There is, I wish somebody would have had a class or offered a class on starting your own small business when I started my company, because there are things that you have no idea that are going to come at you, that you have to navigate on your own. Luckily, I have got some pretty good buddies that have their own companies that help me along the way. But yeah, that statement is so true. But like today, I mean, after I get off my call with you, I'm kind of done until I have a meeting tonight at 8. So, I mean, I can go sit in my recliner for a while and make my cats angry. Who knows? But,
Right. Well, we'll let you get to that then. But thanks for the time, Colin. It's been a pleasure catching up with you one thing. And once this whole COVID stuff's over, we'll get together down here at Wood Green and have a beer.
That would be great. And once we get our documentary done, we'll reach out again and we'll do something on that.
We would love to have you on the show again, my friend.
Absolutely, Dave. It's a pleasure talking to you.
Take care now.
All right. Be well, Dave.
And we'll be back with more of the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Ladies, when it's time to give your nails some love, get that extra special treatment from Quality Nails on South Minnesota Avenue in Sioux Falls. Manicures and pedicures that look great and make you feel fantastic. Zaya and Tony provide professional care for your hands and feet, whether you just want the basics or an extra special look with added flair. Oh, and guys, it's okay to treat yourself too. Quality Nails. Call for an appointment. 605-334-1463.
Once upon a time, a broadcaster and columnist. Now, a podcaster and blogger. Either way, the mirth and merriment continue with Dave Holly.
Welcome back to the Dave Holly Hour, everyone. It is so great to speak to you once again on Weekend Eve, Thursday. It's our favorite day of the week. Well, maybe not favorite, but it starts the favorite part of the week, the weekend, when people get out and about and they take in arts and entertainment more so than they do in that early part of the week. But, you know, anymore in this vicinity, you can take in arts pretty much every day, one way or another. Joining me now is a man that just recently kind of got into the Sioux Falls and Sioux Empire arts scene, Bo McGregor. How are you?
I am doing fabulous. How are you? I have the day off today. I'm Martin Luther King Day. I'm a teacher, so just enjoying my day off.
And a nice thing for you. I have it off anyway. Monday's my day off from my regular job.
Oh, that's wonderful. Mondays are tough.
Yeah, so. My Monday is a Tuesday, and they're already going, it's Tuesday, so who cares?
Yeah.
But it allows me to record a lot of conversations for the podcast, and that's the best part about it, because I get to talk to great people such as yourself.
Yes.
Ironically, now, we're recording down here at the Woodgrain, and you're having a beer.
I am.
And ironically, met you in a bar.
I did. You did.
Yeah.
Actually, at Crawford's, which I just drove by, and they're redoing it. Are they, like, gutting it out or something? Or
I don't know what all is going on
there. So that's not open. That's one of my favorite bars in Sioux Falls.
Oh, ours too.
It's just the design in there. I feel like I'm in France, kind of. Yeah. So I don't know. And they have, I just make friends with a lot of people, I guess. And I made friends with you. And I don't know. I was doing It's a Wonderful Life, actually, at the time.
That's right.
Yeah. And you asked about it and asked if Amy could be on it. But, you know, our schedules conflicted and everything, too. But I'm glad to be on now. And I have some time off from theater. I think the Sioux Empire Community Theater is doing.
They've got the odd couple female version.
I didn't try out for that, but I found out about It's a Wonderful Life auditions. I think it was in November or something. It's a radio play. A day before, I just moved back from South Dakota from Massachusetts because I had a quarantine breakup, but I'm fine. I'm living with my parents and building myself back up again. I'm safe. So, but anyways, I just wanted to get back into the community because East Coast is still closed down. All the schools, no community theater there at all. So I was happy to see that they were having auditions. And one of my friends, Bob Weiland, I think he works with DAPA and everything, is in the Goodnight Theater Collective. Mm-hmm. I was asking about Goodnight Theater Collective because they have grown so much and you've interviewed a lot of actors from there, I'm sure.
Quite a few.
Like, I want to be a part of this because they were doing, like, all these songs on the stages. And they're like, auditions are only in the summer. We cast for the whole season. I'm like, oh, darn. But It's a Wonderful Life auditions are coming up. I'm like, oh, my God, really? Like, I love that movie. I love It's a Wonderful Life because my grandpa Murphy met Jimmy Stewart in Los Angeles.
Wow.
While he lived there, like, in the 70s because mm-hmm. Jimmy Stewart went to school to get his grad college degree in airport architectural design, and so he was really interested in airplanes, and my grandpa worked on airplanes and flew them, and they were talking about airplanes in like Santa Ana, California. So and Jimmy Stewart's like an Irishman, and my grandpa's an Irishman, and I've been to Ireland for a weekend. I don't know, so I just felt like a kinship for that role. And Jimmy Stewart really goes there. I was not expecting to get that role. I'm usually the comedic sidekick. I know I grew up doing theater, and in college I was always Genie in Aladdin or Will Parker in Oklahoma and all like the funny sidekicks and everything. But Amy called me after my audition and said, "Theater lives loudly in you." Amy Morrison. Is that her last name, right?
Yes, it is.
Like,
yep.
And I was like, oh my God, what a great compliment. And so what was different about this play, it wasn't like a live play. We were pretending that we were on a live radio set in the 1940s reading the play. But all the sound effects were done by one person. One actor can play five different characters. Mm-hmm. It was wonderfully done. We had two casts, which is very unique for COVID reasons. So cast A and cast B. But I really grew as an actor because I really focused on the dialogue, kind of like what we're doing now. Like, slow down, use your diction.
Right.
Because usually when I'm on stage, use all your actions and your facial expressions that and you're singing, especially if you're doing musical theater, which I do a lot. And so you kind of just forget to really focus on your voice. And one of my friends from college who always saw all my performances I've ever been, she's like, that's one of the best performances we've ever done and I've ever seen. It was just very wonderfully done. I was happy to be a part of it.
Excellent. So, yeah. And so you got to play George Bailey.
Yeah, I really relate to him. Like this.
I think so many
idealist. Do. Yeah, we're just all dreamers. And I think we all have that American dreamer spirit. Yeah. Like, we can do anything, you know.
You want the moon, Mary? I'll lasso it for you.
I'll bring it down. Like, they'll give you, Jim, he'll give you the moon and he'll buy a house for you, whatever. Like, just a good guy. But he has, I think where I really identified him, he wants to get out so bad. And I think everyone right. feels like that, especially in small towns.
At some point, you
gotta,
do, yeah.
I want to go to Italy. I'm Baghdad. And, oh, I just got this new suitcase. And so, yeah. But actually, what a fun fact, which Amy, the director, told me, Jimmy Stewart did that role after he came back from World War II and was having like a PTSD reaction. Not maybe PTSD, but his reaction was on screen, especially in the latter part of the movie where mm-hmm. he just really goes for it. And, you know, I've never been to war, but I have mental problems, so I have wars in my mind.
Yeah.
So, and I could just relate to it. So, yeah, it was wonderful. I did about, I don't know, like 5 to 7 performances or so, but yeah.
And a fun time, yes. Anytime that the Sioux Empire Community Theater. Now, this was your first production you had been in with them.
No, I was in Avenue Q in 2014.
Okay, 2014, all right.
That's when I was introduced.
So it wasn't first time to the Orpheum.
No, it was my second time, and the first time was such a success, too. I don't know if you saw Avenue Q, but we sold out, and we did it for like a one-act contest, and we actually did it at Icon, and so we just added shows to it, and I knew a couple people from SDSU that were in it. Just had a great time. And that was, Avenue Q was so different because we couldn't hang out as a cast in It's a Wonderful Life. So we didn't have that actual experience. Like, let's go out and have drinks afterwards.
Right.
Because COVID, we can't do anything. So
yeah, cast parties are a little different
parties. Yeah. So it wasn't as fun in that aspect. So I guess we focused on our craft more, but we had so much fun as a cast. We were all perfectly, I was Rod in Avenue Q. And so, yeah, I think Devin was in it, Meg Henges, Sarah from SDSU, Gabe was on it. I don't know, a lot of people that I miss, and I was like, oh. Well, but there's a whole slew of new people that I always see, and I actually did, the other thing I did for the Sioux Empire Community Theater was Lights for Rent. I don't know if you saw that, but I've always been on stage, and that was the first time I actually help put up the lights and do the button, everything. Like, I was God, basically, because that show was so light heavy, and it was in the little studio, and so it was like a roundabout theater, and so it was just a great production, techno, disco lights, whatever, and I just really learned to be on beat and just learn the details and the structures of theater, which I never learned before. So, yeah.
Have you learned about the ghost, though?
Yeah, I've heard about that. I'm not afraid of ghosts because I'm a white witch like Stevie Nicks. So.
Just wondering if you ran into him.
I haven't.
Because I had done some performances there when I was in a magic group in town years ago. And as we were doing our magic show, the two gentlemen that we had emceeing the program for us were speaking, and all of a sudden, a radio station comes on over the PA. It's like, where is this coming from? So we all run downstairs that aren't, you know, performing at the mm-hmm. time to see if, you know, somebody left a radio on down there or something. Nope, wasn't the case. And then the really strange part about it was is that it wasn't even a local radio station. It was a Los Angeles radio station that was playing.
Oh,
so,
my gosh.
You know, a little different.
Like on AM radio, probably.
Yeah, maybe. But it was just weird at that point. But, you know, that seems to be something that superstitions abound when it comes to theater.
Right.
You know, the whole break a leg thing and so mm-hmm. forth. Do you have anything that you have to do before a performance? Any routines you go through?
Yes, I do, actually.
Okay. Spill it.
Like musical theater, I like to do the warm-ups. I like to do all the vocal annoying warm-ups. I like to stretch like an athlete. I like to do yoga. And then right before I go on stage, I always do jumping jacks and like leap around backstage and jump. So I get that energy, you know, especially it's musical theater. And people thought I was crazy. I used to like be really OCD where I just go through all my lines in the show right before I go on stage. So I knew them. Because I always have dreams I'm going to forget my lines on stage all the time. So it's like one of my nightmares. So.
I think anyone that does anything scripted has that.
I know. That's why I should go into improv. I feel like I'm really good at improv. So.
Well, you certainly could. There's a couple of groups in this town.
I know. Great Falls, right?
So. Yeah, and they haven't been able to perform of late because of COVID and so forth.
Oh, I know. Yeah. Well, but I've gotten a little more relaxed with not going over the lines. I'm like, I know it, blah, blah, blah. I still like the stretch and like really get the energy hyped up, too. So
get into character and so forth prior?
Yeah, well, maybe. I don't know.
No, not so much that. Just
well, I think with It's a Wonderful Life I did because we saw each other so briefly that I was like, hey, Violet, I'll just act like George backstage, you know? So I don't know. I guess I'm like a little bit method, a little bit relaxed. I don't know. It depends on the show.
What got you interested in theater to begin with?
Probably seeing my sister in 42nd Street when she was in high school and I was like 6 or 5 or something. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, this is a spectacle. And actually the Missoula Theater Company, they came with two adult actors every year. And
They hit quite a few small towns.
Yeah, and they did it at our school. I was in first grade I wasn't because it was Rumpelstiltskin. I was very shy and introverted at that time. And I remember crying and having a tantrum because I didn't get in. Typical actor.
Oh, my.
And then I saw my best friends up there, and I was very jealous. And then the next year, they did like Snow White Jr., and they had a part of King Backwards, which is Snow White's dad. And like it's K-12, so high schoolers can try out for it. Like Snow White was a high schooler, you know. So I was King Backwards, and that was made for a high school role for a second grader. Everyone was like really impressed or whatever, because I just like delivered my lines and stuff like really loudly, because my mom was my principal growing up. I always hear over the intercom, she's very loud, so I don't know. But yeah, and I grew up doing that, did all those plays. I guess my grandparents were a heavy influence. Like I sent my grandpa Murphy, and also my other grandparents too, the McGregors. They would always play like Lucille Ball and old Saturday Night Live episodes on the VHS tapes and everything. Oh, and so
classics.
Oh, but what I really knew about entertainment was from who was the Tonight Show? I feel stupid for not knowing.
Johnny Carson.
Yes, yeah. Old Johnny Carson tapes. I always remember the hat. I don't know. Yeah.
Karnak.
Yeah, and, yeah. So and like seeing Bette Midler on there, everything, all the celebrities. I just really got into it, and they always liked old movies and stuff, and Disney, was a big Disney fan growing up, and so I had the arts opportunity, which I hope a lot of other schools have, to really express myself, because I don't know where I'd be if I wasn't able to do those Missoula musicals growing up. So
yeah. Do you remember the first part where you said, ooh, I want this so bad, or I got this and I've always wanted to play this?
Right. Oh, I think it was for actually Avenue Q, where I thought I was up for Princeton, and which is a lead part, and I got Rod, which is a sidekick part. So that was kind of my letdown, I guess. But then 4 years later, I got George Bailey. George so Bailey. I favorite things fine.
What is a role that you hope to play someday?
Oh, my goodness. I would love to play the player in the lead player in Pippin, actually.
Oh, we've got magic to do just for you.
Book of Mormon would be fun. Every time I dress up and have my hair slicked, I look like a white Mormon guy from Utah. So like that would obviously Andrew Reynolds, like I believe, like that would be fun, you know. But I don't know. Lately, I've been so creative because I've been doing TikTok.
Yes,
a lot.
This is like a complete. You know, of all the things that I've interviewed people about for this show so far, I don't think we've done somebody that is getting noticed on TikTok.
Well, I only have 60 followers on TikTok, but I just had a recent development yesterday.
Right, yeah. This is big news, actually. Mm-hmm. Tell us about it.
So Heather McDonald, she's a podcast host just like you, but she lives in L.A. She used to be on the Chelsea Handler show. She was a roundtable. She's a comedian. and she writes for movies and TV shows, but at the beginning of her episode, she has like a theme song. It's like rap, and it's like Juicy Scoop in it and everything. And then she did a dance on TikTok, and people on TikTok like to copy dances, or you can duet someone having the Heather McDonald dancing over here and I'm dancing over here. I didn't necessarily, we were all on the same beat and the same sync, and I danced in my own way, and she reposted it on her Instagram page, her Instagram story, and her TikTok page. So, you know, I'm not gaining a lot of followers on it because she didn't include my tag. I'm like, whatever. I'd pay her for that or something. But at least I get noticed because other celebrities follow her. I don't know. It's kind of fun. But yeah, I've been so interested in TikTok because you can just let your creativity shine on there. I feel like TikTok is really for like satirical people or sarcastic people because TikTok is just making fun of stuff all the time. There's like a million, there's so many things you can do, but mainly it's people who are bored, who are just making fun of society, basically. I mean, TikTok went so huge in 2020 that, you know, I play my guitar on there. I just wrote a anti-Christy Gnome song called Christy No No Gnomes. I do different characters on there. I do a lot of lip syncs, and I just have fun, and I repost my Instagram and everything, too, and that's has really been my joy lately, is just if I get bored, I can just make a TikTok video. I don't know. And like, well, unashamed of it, too. I just like don't care.
But it's you know, getting noticed, and you've got some street cred with that then.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, I was honored.
I guess.
Yeah. Come on. Take it for what it's worth. You, if I'm not mistaken, you had told me that you went to college for marketing.
Yes.
Right. So market yourself with that then. You know, make sure you use it.
Well, I've already, the Heather McDonald thing wasn't that big of a deal. I mean, it was, but I've already been on American Idol before. I'm like this joke that just kind of gets like, not really famous, but noticed at like certain pockets of my life. And I was also on the Wendy Williams show, where I won a dance competition.
No kidding.
Well, in the beginning of the show, yeah. But I was like, they set you up in the audience. They like mm-hmm. filmed me a lot. And this black lady in New York was like, you're the star of the show, kid. I was like, I made it. But I was on did you see season 7 of American Idol, David Cook?
I can't say as I did.
Okay, but I sat right next to him in the early auditions in Omaha. So how it works, they audition people like tens of thousands, $8,000. At a time in arenas, not work. That would not work now, COVID. Okay,
yeah.
let's not do that. But I was very naive as a kid, so I auditioned when I was 17 years old, and I've always loved American Idol. Carrie Underwood and Kelly Clarkson mm-hmm. are my queens. Jennifer Hudson, you know.
Okay.
So I was very engaged in that show, and like screamed when Carrie Underwood won. And season 7 came along. I think it'd be 16 or 7 to audition. It was in Omaha, which is very close. And so my mom took me there, but I went to FFA camp, Future Farmers America
right.
camp, like the summer before or like right before I auditioned. And the camp counselor, a national FFA state officer, was like, you need to have a gimmick. You need to like dress funny. I was like, okay. I wish I would never took her advice. I don't know who you are, but I, so I was like in the gag reel because, I had a pretty good singing voice. I sang Rockin' Robin. From the Jackson 5, which was okay. But I had this ridiculous shower cap and blue bathrobe, and my legs were showing. I had like boxer briefs underneath and slippers and a loofah as a microphone. So we had to memorize Stuck in the Middle with You. So the footage that I'm on American Idol is like for a second or two. But you know how they do the montages and the mm-hmm. bad auditions? And I'm in that. But I sat right next to David Cook. He was really nice. And my friend that I work with in Sioux Falls went to his concert a couple years ago, and he still remembers me, so that's nice.
Oh, that's cool. You made a memory for somebody.
I guess so. I think yeah, I was just like nervous by him like sweating profusely. I'm like, I can't memorize this song. He's like, it's okay, man. He was like so chill. I was like, no wonder you're a star because you're so chill. Just not a very chill person.
What other types of entertainment are you involved in?
I used to be involved heavily like in poetry, kind of. I used to post on this website when I was in high school and stuff, but I really do like to write. I really want to develop my own one-man show or something that's very personal, and I mm-hmm. feel like right in this area, it's kind of the right time as well. But I don't know. I always have all these ideas, but I can never follow through with them. So,
well, you know, a one-man show is a great thing.
Yeah.
Especially like in COVID times.
Yeah, and I feel like it can go anywhere in Sioux Falls.
Well, true.
We can do it in here right now.
Yeah, so. You know, that's the thing. It's one of the things that we've talked about over the past year and a half on this show is the explosion of the arts and entertainment in this area, mm-hmm. how much it's grown and the ways that it's grown, mm-hmm. in the fact that, you know, now people will make a comedy club in a pizza joint,
yeah.
or they will go to the co-op, the book co-op,
yeah.
and perform
a
play there.
Oh, I love
there.
That place. You can drink beer. I've met so many great people.
But, you know, there's just so many different venues now that are available. And so
I moved
many...
away when that all happened, I feel like. I feel like it really boosted in, like, 2014, 15 maybe.
Right.
Maybe I'm wrong on that, but... And I just moved back, and I'm like, wow, it's so vibrant. Like, I'm sitting here in the Aqua Fresh and the Wood Grain lobby. It's just so, I feel like I'm in New York right now.
Yeah.
These orange chairs, I might steal one. Just kidding. I'm just kidding. They're just, it's just a great place. So, yeah.
It's fantastic. And we're glad that you are now a part of it. But when it comes to not performing, well, let's finish before we get to the usual end of the conversation questions. Tell us what goes through your mind when you're making something for Instagram or TikTok.
Yeah, I get really inspired. So I guess watching other people's Instagrams or TikTok, I get inspired off them. So if I see other people do lip syncs to a song, I'll do that, or I'll have an idea in my head all day. Like if someone makes fun of something, I'll make, like the other time I made fun of like someone getting COVID in a gas station. He just talks about it. I don't know. It was just, yeah. But it's actually improv to me. Like I was talking before, I want to do improv because I don't write out what I say on TikTok. I just do it, and you can do it right away. But you can rewatch yourself and redo it a bunch of times. That I feel like the freshest, the best stuff. Because I'm a, kind of a musician too. I like to play acoustic guitar and sing as well. But I feel like the best stuff you get, it just comes right out. If you're not thinking about it, and you just say it. And that's what I do on TikTok. And that's not really much thought that goes into it, actually. I just go, because it's a minute long, and you just do it. So.
Well, that's fantastic.
Yeah.
And, like I said, you do that quite often. And so I've been following you on Instagram.
Yeah.
I'm not a TikTok person, I have to admit.
I know. It's either love it or hate it. But
yeah. And
yeah.
I don't know where I fall on that line, but just the fact that it's just not what I'm going for. And I'm not big on Snapchat either.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like to be able to go back and look at something a second time.
Yeah. That's true. I know.
All right. But so when you are not entertaining for others, what do you like to be entertained by?
Oh, I really love TCM, Turner Classic Movies.
Oh.
Whenever there's a good Turner Classic
Ben
movie
Ben Mankiewicz.
On, because there's no commercials.
Yeah.
Because obviously I love to be entertained by streaming services, Netflix, blah, blah, blah. But I feel that's like an abyss. I get depressed when I go on there because there's so many options. Because at one point I had everything. Disney Plus, Hulu, Amazon Prime, Netflix. And I feel like I'm always spending an hour finding
what
to
you
watch.
Yeah.
It's so annoying because I'm like, I start to watch something. I'm like, well, this is out. I could watch something better right now. But living with my parents back home in the basement, which is fine. We have great satellite TV, and TCM has no commercials. And they always have an introduction. It's like film course, too. So during Halloween, there was like I got an Alfred Hitchcock marathon, and Jimmy Stewart was in a lot of them, like
yes,
Vertigo and
Rear Window.
Yes, I just saw that, too. That's great, too. He's just in a lot of stuff. And oh, my God, I saw Psycho for the first time. I don't know why I've never seen that before, but it creeped me out. It's like Norman Bates, like, oh, my God, that's so weird. Like the ending with the skeleton. Oh, my gosh. But that's what I get inspired by old stuff, I guess. So I really take inspiration from that. I also love to be online. I love to watch TikTok, of course, and other celebrities doing things. I think my muse right now and who I want to be like is Amy Sedaris. I don't know if you're familiar with her. She's like a kooky comic kind of, and she was on Stranger Things on Comedy Central and At Home with Amy Sedaris, what she's doing now. But she does a lot of improv. She grew up, she did it in Chicago, and I don't know, I kind of want to model my career after her and just create my own things. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
because
good for you.
Yeah.
And aside from entertainment, any other types of hobbies and so forth?
I love to hike, but I walk in the summer. So Yeah, you can see me out on the gravel roads in South Dakota, walking 6 miles, singing in my iPod to music, or listening to podcasts like yours.
That's the way to go.
Dave Holly Hour.
All right. Hey, Bo McGregor, appreciate you spending time with us.
Oh, that was wonderful. Thank you for having me.
All right. We'll be back to wrap up the Dave Holly Hour in just a moment.
Dr. Perry Langston and Dr. Corey Tooney know excellence is in you. That's why they provide you with excellent care at XO Chiropractic, improving your overall health in spirit, body, mind, and will. Get results the natural way. Arrange a consultation. 605-332-9235 or exochiros.com. Excellent care for excellent people. XO Chiropractic, located at 4309 South Racket Drive in Sioux Falls.
From the Dipsy Doodle Studios at the world headquarters of Big D Entertainment, a 40-square-foot home studio in the middle of America, it's Dave Holly.
Thanks again to those great guests this week. Bo McGregor about the love of theater, Colin McKenzie talking about CMAC Productions, and as well, thank you to our friends at Wood Grain Brewery, Frontier Bank, and Agua Fresh. That lobby area there at 9th and Phillips is where we like to do our recording quite often for the show, and appreciate their hospitality. Don't forget, I'm at Trivia tomorrow night, 80s theme. Also, a couple other things I don't want you to forget. I'm part of a new podcast called Midtown Coffee Radio Hour, which you can pick up on Spotify. It's coming out once a month. We had our January episode come out last Sunday. It's doing well. And the initial episode of Midtown Coffee Christmas was a huge success. Also, thanks to Vanessa Gomez from Dakota News Now, who had a couple of us on last Friday. Yeah, snowstorm days and so forth. But she had us on in the morning on Dakota News Now. It was a thrill to be with her. She did a great job, and we immediately had some feedback from people wanting to hear that first episode, even though it was still going to be Sunday before the new one came out. Also, thank you for all the follows and likes and shares on Instagram and Facebook and so forth. Don't forget, you can always find out more about this show and other things by going to DaveHollyHour.com. Also, DaveHolly.com. You'll find a lot of stuff there, too. So thanks again for listening this week. I'm Dave Holly, and for me, every day is a holiday.
The Dave Holly Hour has been brought to you by the Sky Lounge and Tea, XL Chiropractic, Quality Nails, and Books and Brews Pizzeria. If you would like to contribute to the continued success of this podcast, go to DaveHollyHour.com. At the bottom of the front page is the additional links section. Click on the orange button, Dave Holly on Linktree. You can order merchandise, become a Dave Holly Hour VIP, and make contributions to the show. The Dave Holly Hour is produced in the Dipsy Doodle Studios by Big D Entertainment.
Thanks for listening.